This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
We have talked a little bit about music already on this edition of Ozarks. Wayne Bell talking about the possible Grammy nominations. Mm-hmm. Robert with his conversation about the upcoming concert. Music is more everywhere than it's ever been, thanks to digital services, including the cloud. Ty, we're asking you to help us distinguish all of these musical services and which one is best for us.
Because didn't Google recently come out with their own service?
Yeah, they did. Google Music was just made public. It was in a very Google-style private beta invite only at first, just so everybody wants to get into the Red Rope Club. And then they decide, oh, well, we'll just make it for everybody. And so they've done that now. They've made it open so anyone can create a Google Music account. And what that boils down to is a giant locker in the cloud, a giant locker on Google's servers, basically, that you upload all of your music to.
Music that I already own.
Music you already own. You download a piece of software that is basically a syncing software, and it takes all of the music you have and uploads it to a digital locker for you in the cloud. And that can take a while. I know when I did it, I think it took 4 days
of
just sitting there. And I've got a pretty good music library, but I'm not gigs on gigs on gigs of music. But the advantage to having that is I now have music to my entire iTunes library, my entire music collection, anywhere I go. And I can access it via the web. I can access it on my mobile device. Anywhere where I can get the internet, I can get my music.
How much does that cost?
It is free.
Okay, now what about iTunes Match? Because iTunes Match tells me anything I own, they'll take from the cloud and let me have almost anywhere.
iTunes Match will do a very similar thing. iTunes Match is a great system, particularly for people who are already kind of in what's been dubbed the Google walled garden. If you're an iPhone user, if you're an iPad user, if you've got iTunes on your PC.
Apple TV.
Apple TV, yeah. Got to promote the Apple TV. That's good stuff. It's the lesser-known cousin of the Apple products. But if you're already using those kinds of products, it's a great ecosystem to associate with your music and use iCloud for and iTunes Match because you're already using all of the devices that iTunes Match will sync to. And so you will pay a fee of, I believe, $25 a year.
Annual subscription, right?
Annual subscription. And it looks at your music. And rather than having to install something that's going to upload all of your music into the cloud, it takes a quick look. Well, maybe not a quick look, but it takes a look over your music library and says, oh, you've got these? Well, we've got all these already. So you get access to them.
So anything you have already purchased, whether through iTunes or you owned already on CD and you've put into iTunes, they will match it and, in fact, in some cases, make the bitrate better.
Absolutely. They have a much higher quality bitrate than a lot of easily acquired
right.
music. If you have some digital music that you got either through a friend or through otherwise less than purchased means, that becomes legitimized through the iTunes cloud system and it becomes a higher quality file. So you can delete that old file and download the newer, higher quality. I believe it's 256.
So is that the reason you would pay $25 for iTunes Match as opposed to the free Google service?
It is, and it also allows you to it's integrated into iOS devices. Google Music is not. You still use your browser. It's HTML5 based, so it's mobile ready. But the other advantage is it's not as time consuming. And if you like the way Apple does things, then it feels like every other Apple thing. And you can't stream it from the internet is the only issue. By that I mean through a web browser. You can't access your iTunes Match account through a web browser, so you have to use an iOS device. And that's a pretty distinct disadvantage. But as I said, if you're already someone who finds themselves in the Apple walled garden, you don't mind that because you're listening either on your phone or on your TV or on your computer anyway.
So with Apple, you can use iTunes to buy the music and then you can use iTunes Match. With Google, can you buy music from them or are they just storing it for you?
They are selling music now too. They offer some free music and they offer music purchases. So you can, once you get your locker up there, you can just make purchases up in your locker, pull things down from your locker, or leave it up there.
With both iTunes Match and Google, you have to have the music ahead of time to listen in some fashion. With Spotify, the entire world is open to you.
It's all you. As long as it's in the Spotify database, it's all you. There's actually a string of three, I guess you would call them subscription-based music services. There's Spotify, there's RDO, and there's Moog. And they're all very similar, similar pricing. They all offer a web, a browser-based free version of their service that's ad-supported. And then you pay additional $4.95 a month to remove the ads. And then you pay a total of $9.99 for the premium packages, and those offer mobile listening.
And now that's $9.99 a month.
A month. That is correct. And so it's cheaper than a CD a month, or about the price of a CD a month, and you can listen to anything they have in their catalogs. And their catalogs are pretty extensive. Spotify has recently had some little bitty European labels that do mostly like dubstep pull from their catalogs. But for the most part, all the big wigs are in on this. They've all bought into the subscription-based music service because they know it's keeping them from it's bringing back revenue that they've lost due to piracy and due to just the nature of the internet and all things being digital and therefore in theory attainable for free.
Will this hurt, do you think, Pandora? I mean, Pandora's been around for a long time, and the thing with Pandora is you can kind of tell it what you want to hear.
And is iHeart radio stations, is that similar to Pandora as well?
They are. I'm not sure about iHeartRadio and its voting abilities, but I know for me, Pandora is an exceptional music discovery tool. iHeartRadio is great for music discovery as well.
Right. But not everyone's into music discovery.
Right.
I mean, I think there would be some customers who would say, I want Spotify because I know what I want, and I want to hear Lynyrd Skynyrd's greatest hits, and that's it.
Exactly. But if you're a little more adventurous and you're willing to invest a little time into curating a Pandora station, you can pick a song. For me, when I use Pandora, I pick a song rather than an artist because I want the feel of that song. And I thumbs up everything with Pandora. You vote by thumbsing up or thumbsing down songs that fit the mood. And so I vote to a song and to a mood, and it can replicate an entire station based on a song. And that station then has the feel of that song consistently with either songs I know or songs by artists I've never heard of. But that feel remains consistent.
Okay, so we've talked about Google and the iTunes Match and Spotify et al. Is there anything else we should know about that's out there?
There is. There's another dog in the fight, and it is the most interesting dog in this fight. It's Turntable.fm. Turntable.fm, for those who've not heard of it, is a social music experience. You log in via your Facebook, and now they're accepting via Twitter accounts. So you have to be plugged into some sort of social network already before you can access Turntable.fm. But when you do, you initially log in, and there's a huge list of rooms, digital rooms, and they're either genre based or named something goofy, or any number of names, but generally you try and allude to what kind of music will be played in that room. So you go into that room and you have a little avatar, and everyone in there has a little avatar, and you see a room full of little avatars and a table at the top with five computers.
Oh, you showed me this.
I did show you this. It's a whopping good time if you get into it. You are allowed to sit and listen, or if a spot becomes available by somebody stepping down from a DJ spot, you can actually DJ music. And you can create your own playlist. They have a huge archive of music that's already been digitally uploaded, or you can upload some of your own. And as you play music, people either click awesome or they click lame. And you get points for every person that clicks awesome. And as you gain points, you can change your avatar and become the bigger and better avatars. And as the people click awesome, you'll see their little avatar heads start to bob back and forth to the song. And so you can tell if a room really likes a song because everyone's head will be bobbing, or if no one likes a song because no one's head's bobbing.
But you can listen to the music in one of these digital rooms and not have to participate. If you just want to use it for a listening service and you want to say, oh, let's see what this person's playing, you can do that.
Yeah, that's completely correct. There's very much a discovery aspect to Turntable FM as well, because if you find a genre room and you find DJs you like, because you're allowed, you can click on an avatar and follow that person as a DJ, and you know that you really like what that person plays, particularly in like this room or that room, and you'll get an email notifying you when a DJ has gone to a room.
It's interesting because it used to be if you liked a certain song and you didn't own it, you might not hear it for a while.
Right.
Now, if you've got something that's connected to a cloud or to a server or to a locker or to a whatever, you can hear it almost instantly.
If you've got the internet, you can listen to just about anything you want. I mean, I still will just, if I want to hear a song and I don't have something connected in one of those subscription kind of ways, I'll just go to YouTube and look for it, and almost guaranteed I'll be able to find it. So you can listen to pretty much anything you want these days.
Or you can always just listen to the radio.
There's that.
We like that.
Yes, we do. Ty, thank you.
You bet.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador at Ozarks at Large.